Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
How are you feeling about that?
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
Just trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good,
it's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Happy Thursday. It is Dukes and Bell. Not as cold out, Mike, as it was the last couple of days. I know you were walking home last night. You made it. No frostbite. You're good.
Yeah, man. It's just when that wind whips up here in Midtown, when the buildings and everything, it kind of creates that canyon effect. And then, you know, it's, but again, I walk to work because, by God, Carl, I need to lose LBs. I'm not going to drive a scooter like some D-bag. I'm going to just walk in. I'm going to walk and I'm going to freeze.
I say you take the scooter.
You did it. I just still can't bring myself to do it. I took the scooter down to the Fox last week.
I did. Well, 2 weeks ago. I did. And I told you, I was praying, God, please don't let me crash. And I almost did. I hit one of those sidewalks that's uneven. Mm-hmm. And I almost flew off. Like, everything slowed down. Oh, no. And then I grabbed control. But it took me like 11 minutes. I think I told Bo this. 11 minutes or so from where we're at here on 14th Street. But I still had to stop for traffic
right. And
red lights and all that stuff.
It's still a thing here because, you know, I mean, technically they don't want you on the sidewalk, but, you know, people are getting killed and stuff on the roads. That's not good either. But they have limited – I mean, there's less of them out there right now. So, again, if you're – I don't know, is it like in the burbs? Do you see it in Roswell or Alpharetta? You see people on those things?
No. I haven't seen any of the scooters out there, mostly in town for the most part. I haven't seen them in the OTP.
You see them on a belt – I was on a Beltline the other day.
Yeah, they're everywhere there.
And that's the thing, and that's kind of a drag because a lot of people – again, various
– no motorized vehicles.
Well, there's very degrees of proficiency and situational awareness. I'll put it that way. Like, how's that?
Yeah,
I'm not being gender specific. Wink, wink.
Oh, I get you. I've not taken one on the Beltline. Although, if you were going to walk the Beltline, which most people do for exercise,
right. But
if
I just do it one, to drink,
yeah, but that's cool though. If you were going to take one, that's a cool place to take it. Right. Hey, man, we'll talk more about what's going on with the Falcons. Grady Jarrett on the way in about 20 minutes. For those who missed him yesterday, he joined our show talking about the Falcons and where they currently are. There's still lots of work to do. You feel good about last week, but guess what? It means nothing. Because now you turn the page, and if you go lay an egg against Carolina and Kyle Allen, Mike, we'll be back in here on Monday going, okay, what happened? So I need to see the continued progress that we've been talking about with this football team. Grady hits on that as well as some of the sacks and how that all went down, and maybe we can get some more of those this weekend. Hey, Vince Dooley's set to join us as well, 3:40. We'll talk to the legendary Vince Dooley about the Dogs in Auburn. Everybody's talking about this game and what it could mean. Remember a couple of years ago? Because Georgia in 2017 SEC championship game, and then they beat them, you know, in Athens. But you got to go back when Georgia got drubbed, Mike, 40-17.
Right.
You guys remember this game. It was ugly. This can be one of the toughest places to play and win in the country.
Now, I've always said this, and I don't know how, you know, you guys feel. I know when in the old days, God, it seems like maybe two decades, last time Neyland was really rocking. To me, Jordan-Hare, the way the sound travels, to me, that's the loudest stadium in the SEC.
It's rich.
And I've only been to Tiger Stadium once, but it wasn't an SEC opponent game. But, yeah, to me, I've heard Tiger Stadium for LSU, but, yeah, I just feel Jordan-Hare is that loudest, intimidating vibe when it really gets cranked up.
Listen, I love the environment there. You know, we talk about, I know Tuscaloosa, they get 100,000 folks in there, but I don't think it's as loud as Auburn can get. I just don't.
I just, you know, when the War Eagle and the Bird come swinging down, everyone just loses their mind. I'm trying to think. I mean, my first trip to a game at Jordan-Hare, that's the game where Munson didn't know who caught the touchdown and Georgia wins. I think it was like Mark Richt's, first or second year. But, man, it is certainly, I guess, yeah, it was 2002, 24-21. But it really is a great place to go, a great place to tailgate. It's a great scene. Hopefully the weather is going to stay, you know, again,
decent,
comfortable for everybody out there. And it's a great rivalry. It's one of those games when you – if you hadn't been to it or you're not watching the SEC, I don't know if this translates to folks out in Pac-12 country or Big 12, but this is going to be pads popping. This is going to be hard-nosed defensive football, which I don't think you could argue when Alabama and LSU play and it looks like a Pac-12 game or a Big 12 game, it devalues the reputation for defense in the SEC, but that's what you're going to see on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, I do too. And by the way, it's fine. The game changes. It evolves. You go back to that 09 game, right, and it was 9-6. And, you know, three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. the game the other night was so much more entertaining. And I'm glad that the game has evolved to where it is, and both LSU and Alabama on board. Guys, there was a time, we forget, Nick Saban was totally against what's going on right now. These spread offenses, we're going to kill kids. They're running 80 plays a game. This is going to kill kids.
Saban, no joke. If you don't remember this, Saban got on the podium worried about player safety.
What?
Yeah, this just isn't healthy. This isn't – and now everybody's doing it. It's a total crock. So, and it was we thought it was a crock at the time when he said it.
I did. And again, I think this will be an entertaining game. Maybe not as high scoring as the LSU-Alabama game, but Mike's absolutely right. More on the Auburn-Georgia game coming up in less than an hour here with our dog report. Right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Hey, Mike, this weekend we get a Super Bowl rematch. Well, sort of. I mean, listen, they're not the same teams that they were. Mm. There are some facets of those teams that we saw, but I'm talking about Patriots-Eagles. It's a 4:25 game on Sunday. It's a rematch, obviously one of the better Super Bowls we've seen.
Now, the Eagles have had some issues. They've had some guys banged up. They lost to Deshaun Jackson for the season on IR. Aguilar apparently is banged up as well. Peterson's been getting a lot of heat because what else are they going to do in Philly? You know, you don't get the 10 years you would have gotten of grace for Dan Quinn if we had won the Super Bowl up there. So the and Tom Brady, you may have seen the comments. He went on EEI in Boston and says that it's still
W-E-E-I.
And it still just obviously gets under his skin. He still thinks about losing that Super Bowl. And, you know, the Philly special and all that, one of the best Super Bowls ever, one could argue,
yep,
as far as pure entertainment. But Patriots defense had been rolling, the best defense in the NFL, until they got to Baltimore and they lost to Lamar Jackson.
Does he still feel that way about Darren Bevell, who gave the game to him and gave him another ring when they were on the one-yard line and Seattle should have won?
Well, they won that one.
I know. That's the difference, like this close, right? Let's hear from Doug Peterson about this matchup.
We're a different team. They're a different team. You know, their defense is different today than it was then. Their offense is different. Personnel is different. It's not something that's a focal point at all going into this game.
Eagles need to win. Now, I'm saying that it's not a division game for them, but they're 5-4. Cowboys are 5-4. You right. Start talking about overall record, same thing we've been saying. Division is great, but it's not the overall record. And so they are desperate for a win. Patriots, meanwhile, their only loss coming to the Ravens. Hey, we were talking about the Kaepernick workout. Miami needs a quarterback, right? Here's what their head coach, Brian Flores, had to say about the Cap workout and having somebody here in Atlanta.
Like all players, I mean, we're on the waiver wire, you know, on a daily basis, and we do our due diligence on all players. So, yeah, we'll have someone there. I would say, you know, having that much time off, you got to get back into the swing of things. But he was a very good player.
Yeah, I don't think coaches want to be answering these questions, quite honest with you. Got enough on my plate. You know, I've got two wins now for the Dolphins. We're trying to get things together. Now I got to answer questions about a guy I have no intention of having on my football team. But I've got to answer them the right way. Otherwise, it becomes a thing.
Yeah. Fitzmagic. He's trying to get the Fitzmagic back down there, isn't he?
That stat I had for you last week still blows my mind. On Monday, 17 rushing touchdowns for Fitzpatrick in his career. You don't think about a guy, you know, can move, but he can.
It's crazy. We were talking about Eric Reed since we're on the Kaepernick conversation. Here's Eric Reed. This is his former teammate. He's now with the Carolina Panthers. He was out of football for a minute, got a job, but he's still outspoken.
I spoke to him last night. He had the same concerns that I just mentioned, wondering why it's a Saturday, but he's ready. He's been training. Like I've been telling y'all ever since I got here for 3 years now, he's been training since he's ready.
3 years, man. Wow. I mean, is there something you could do 3 years ago that you can't do now?
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of them. That's why I went to GNC.
Okay, never mind.
Anyway, no, man, as far as, you know, where does he fit in the grand scheme of things? There are, as we said, because we have a bunch of guys hit us up on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line. We don't get a chance to hit you back, guys. We don't have the return message here, but we can read them. But a bunch of guys were saying that, he of course, he's better than a bunch of guys that are out there, but teams don't want to deal with the headache. And you and I talked about that at length yesterday. People in different, you know, different towns, if it's a more, you know, open-minded town, ironically, San Francisco would probably be the best place for him as a landing spot. They got the quarterback position covered. You know, I mean, Seattle was one that flirted with it. Pete Carroll made a big, you know, dog and pony show about him working him out, but they never did anything.
No.
You know, in there's certain Rust Belt spots where, I don't know, I mean, I think if you're desperate to win, you take any by all means necessary, you know. But I think some people still have a hang-up over the guy because they don't understand what it was about.
It's our NFL Blitz segment. We're talking to the National Football League guys and what's going on. Let's hear from Dwayne Haskins, Mike. We finally get a chance to see what he's about the rest of the way. He has now been named the starter with the Redskins.
Being a young guy, being a rookie quarterback in the NFL is going to be very challenging. But just to know that he supports me and you know, wants to rally behind me and do everything possible to help me get this team to win some games.
Did you hear what Urban Meyer came out and said, talking about Haskins was the best quarterback to come out of Ohio State? Gave this big breakdown about Haskins and how talented he was and who he compared him to. I mean, he went to bat for this guy, saying, you're about to start seeing some magic if they give him the opportunity.
I mean, everybody gets in the NFL, and not everybody just hits it from the jump. Look, we mentioned Daniel Jones the other day. Daniel Jones had that great come-from-behind victory against the Buccaneers, and he's not been good since. Mm. You know, he's doing all the things that rookies struggle. Some guys plug in. You know, Dan Marino, he's off and running. You know, Baker Mayfield last year looked pretty good, and then this year he looks like a hot mess. We're going to see him tonight. We'll talk about Monday Night Football in a second. So what do you read from it? You know, Lamar Jackson had success, certainly once he finally got in, they took Flacco out. But in this case, I think Haskins, first off, tough when you got – who are the big weapons? What are the big wide receiver weapons? They got one decent receiver on that team. You got the coaching change. That's a tough spot for the guy to be in because he thought Jay Gruden and him was going to be working together.
Yeah, and the running back's 80 years old.
Literally.
Ravens coach John Harbaugh, Mike, you know, they beat the Patriots. Everybody's like, whoa, they've got the Texans this weekend. But he's like, listen, I don't care about all this power ranking stuff.
I don't care about them. It's all fun, you know, and that's cool. It's fun. And what's the value of it? I would be dishonest if I told you I didn't see them. You know, I noticed when we were ranked 23rd, whatever we're ranked now, it doesn't make you as mad.
Fun team to watch, that's for sure, man. Great defense, can run the football. Mark Ingram, and again, you have to go back to, what, Mike Vick and Warrick Dunn for that kind of combination in the backfield, run the football. So, going to be exciting. Tonight, by the way, you get Thursday Night Football, short turnaround for the Browns, who, of course, won last week if you didn't see it. So, of course, obviously Baker Mayfield was talking and telling the fans they need to shut up when they're on offense. Meanwhile, the Steelers coming off a great win against the Rams, if you didn't see it. The Cleveland Browns beat the Bills 19-16. They had, by the way, saw this stat on NFL Network this morning on Good Morning Football, 38 snaps. They had Kareem Hunt on the field the same time as Chubb. So Kitchens trying to give some looks to the defense, Carl, to confuse him. You don't want to take away from the touches of Chubb, but obviously they want to get Kareem Hunt some touches as well because he's such a weapon.
No doubt. And I want him to get some touches because I've got him.
Do I go Steelers defense tonight? I asked you this off the air. Or do I go Patriots against the Eagles on the road? Steelers defense has been smothering. Minka Fitzpatrick has been unbelievable. I think Minka Fitzpatrick gets a pick tonight off of Mayfield. Or at least he's part of a turnover. He helps to create a turnover tonight for sure.
Well, Mayfield's throwing it to everybody except his teammates. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think they do create some turnovers. I like the way the Steelers defense is playing. They're not asking Mason Rudolph to do too much. I'm liking the Steelers tonight, man.
Okay, that's the one then.
Yeah, I'm liking the Steelers. Hey, last but not least, and this is another fantasy league for me, Kobe Brissett is going to start on Sunday. That's good news. He was killing it for me earlier in the year, and if you have him on your fantasy team, you guys know this took over for Andrew Luck. Here's his coach, Frank Reich.
I know his knee feels a lot better today than it did 4 days ago. I mean, I'm assuming it's all going to be good, and we're going to get to the end of practice. And, hey, were you good? Yeah, we're good. And then, okay, we'll check that box and say, barring any setback the rest of the week, he'll be the starter.
Thank goodness. All right, just that's on a personal level. It is Dukes and Bell. That's our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Guys, check them out, PriorityMen'sMedical.com.
Yeah, one nugget I didn't get to, but it's just really cool. You can read it at ProFootballTalk.com. In light of the matchup this week with the Ravens and the Texans, Deshaun Watson, of course, Gainesville, Georgia, giving nothing but love to Lamar Jackson, said, I'm a proud quarterback, proud friend. All the criticism he, talking about Lamar, was getting when he was coming out, he's definitely a guy that I've always encouraged and talked to in the offseason. I've always been, since the college days, we played against each other, of course, Louisville and Clemson. So I've always been friends with him. He's a guy that's been doing everything that all the naysayers have said he couldn't do and more.
Yeah.
Nice praise from Deshaun. Very classy.
It is. There's a great article out there. I'll retweet it for you guys that talks about the Bears' approach and why they went with Mitchell Trubisky and not Deshaun Watson. Very interesting. It's very interesting.
I could give you the explanation, but I'd have to cuss.
Yeah, it's interesting. And they didn't even want to talk to Lamar. I mean, they had no interest. All right, we're coming back. When we do, you'll hear from Grady Jarrett, guys. Our star defensive tackle joined Mike and I yesterday on the program to talk about the big win against the Saints, but also as we look ahead to what's going to happen on Sunday next.
The question has to be the cumulative number of plays that you play over the season Does that do anything to affect player safety? That would be my question.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. And listen, we were so proud and excited about the performance that was given by our Falcon football team against those Saints. And right now, joining us to talk about that as well as this upcoming matchup with the Carolina Panthers is our man Grady Jarrett. Grady, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Congratulations on a great win, by the way. Mike and I have been saying this. You've been balling out all season. At one point during the year, I said, can I get 10 other Grady's? It looked like we had that on Sunday as everybody was getting after the quarterback.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. It definitely felt good for everybody to get there and affect the pass rush and get some production on quarterback, and we definitely want to continue to build on that.
Everybody we talked to, Grady, couldn't exactly pinpoint why we got to where we were at 1-7. Was it the changes with the coaching staff? Was it the Saints? Where did this juice come from?
You know, it's hard to pinpoint, you know, where exactly our struggles was. I feel like, you know, we'll do good in one area and kind of lack in another, and then the vice versa next week. And then, you know, I guess our last week we finally got everything to click together. So it was a good feeling, you know, something that we wanted to continue to definitely build off of. We definitely not where we want to be, but we honestly control what's in front of us, and that's what we plan to do, and just try to get better week in and week out.
Grady, there was one play in the Saints game, and there were a ton of them, obviously six sacks, but there was a third, I think it was a third and 14, and you guys end up getting to the quarterback with three guys. That was crazy, because those are those effort plays,
right?
And all season long, it seems like we never made those plays happen, and then Sunday, you know, you guys were getting home.
Yeah, without a doubt, you know, I took a, like you said, you know, it was a big effort play, but even though we got the sack, you know, you definitely got to give props to the coverage on a play like that. I mean, they say, you know, that's a cover sack, but, you know, we only got three guys rushing, and there was actually a max protection looking at, so they had a running back and a tight end staying in, so it was versus really three versus seven. And, you know, we all kept working the concert, and I kind of peeled off to the edge and wrapped around and was able to get through on the ground. So, I mean, it was definitely awesome, and when we're rushing like that up front, it allows our guys to do a good job in the back end.
It is Grady Jarrett, guys, with the Falcons. A monster day down in New Orleans, as we said. Everyone just getting in on the act and getting heat on the quarterback. Here's a question now. Can we build on this? Because, you know, we've been saying all week now, Grady, go up to Carolina, and we got to keep it rolling because we can't lose now. We've got no margin for error.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. Like, we know we got to build on that. We definitely want to build on that. And, you know, we ain't got no room for any more victories anymore. You know, we got to put up at this point where we are, and that's what we got ourselves. It's up to us to get out of the situation, but you definitely got a group of guys that's hungry, want to continue working, and we think our best football is still ahead of us. But it's up to us to go out there and perform, you know, on game day and put the work in. So that's what we're trying to do, that's what we're going to do, and definitely excited for it.
Grady, without getting into too much detail, obviously, football lingo, how much has changed from maybe the start of the season, from a defensive, you know, scheme and complex standpoint, to where we are now? Because we continue to hear Coach Quinn talk about, you know, the changes and, like, you know, Raheem Morris now working with the DBs. And how has that affected the overall scheme of things? Is it easier now?
I wouldn't say easier. I mean, I feel like it just goes to show, you know, a testament to, you know, just the how far we're willing to go to try to fix our problems and, you know, everybody trying to just address where we all can get better at, and being 1-7 at a time. You know, not throwing in the towel and just saying it is what it is. You know, we try to find any solution we could to, you know, get a good defense on the field, get a good team on the field, and people, guys, players, and coaches were willing to, you know, try to make adjustments for the best for the team. I think that's kind of where we're at, and I think, you know, there's been some things going good in the right direction. So we just want to continue to press, man, and everybody grinding on every level. And you got a whole bunch of group of people that just don't have any quit in them. And right. So, like, no matter how, you know, good or bad things going, we always trying to check ourselves and get better.
It is number 97, Grady Jarrett, with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline with 5.5 sacks on the season now. Grady, I know when we talked to you and the other guys when camp started, you were fired up about Quinn being the DC. Now he doesn't have that role. Jeff Ulbrich, Raheem Morris coming in. Now, is there any difference with how the game is being called? I know with the plays coming to Debo, but what are you hearing?
You know, I just kind of run with whatever they call, you know, and try to make the call come to life, and just, you know, do whatever the coaches ask of me, and, you know, however it go, that's how it goes. So that's kind of how I kind of keep it simple in my head, you know, and it's, you know, you do the job the coach asks you to do, no matter who making a play call, you got to make it come to life.
Now, I don't have to build you up. You know how I feel about you. But mm-hmm. you've been balling out all season. And I said this, you know, it's unfortunate because of the record. You got people around the league who the football heads recognize it, but I don't think the average fan recognizes it. And I want to ask you why. What is it about this year? You got a great contract. All that's behind you. You said to us on this show that you wanted to be more about, you know, just the money. What is it that's allowing you to have such a great season?
You know, I just want to always continue to grow as a player year by year. And, like I said, it's still a lot there for me that I want to accomplish that I haven't, and just striving for. And, you know, just that I did sign a big deal here, but, I mean, I ain't the only one I'm trying to do while I'm here. And, I mean, there's lots of that stuff that's still ahead of me. You know, I've been a Pro Bowl alternate, but I haven't been outright selected. You know, I want to be a Pro Bowl player. I want to be an All-Pro. I think that's, like, driving me just to be the best football player I can be. I think sometimes people think everything is about, you know, us getting paid and getting the money, which is very important. But, you know, I love to play the game, you know, and I want to be the best I can be while I have the window and opportunity to play this game, you know. But when I'm done doing it, I'm not going to have any regrets because I know every day, every year, I try to get better and work in my craft and maximize the gift that God blessed me with. So I think it's just, you know, just me holding myself to a high standard and then want to perform at a high level for, you know, my team, my city, get done.
Well, as Carl pointed out, you're getting a lot of love nationally. Peter King, I'm sure your mom found the article. Peter King was saying you were just balling out in Football Morning in America, for what it's worth. All right, Grady, you go to Carolina. It's not Cam Newton. It's a different dude. It's McCaffrey is their biggest weapon. What do you see when you look at Carolina for Sunday?
You said it, man. You know, they got a new quarterback in Kyle Allen. He's doing a great job for him, won a couple games for him. And, you know, McCaffrey's having his best year up to date. And, I think he's doing a really good, really well for them, you know, in the pass game, run game, and he's doing some really, really impressive things. So, I mean, it's up to us to go up there and try to do our best to limit him. I think he's a guy that you can't maybe, you know, go all the way and shut down. You know, he's just such a talent, but you know that don't stop us from trying, you know. And so, I think they got a good team. You know, two teams that, you know, I think we enjoy playing each other, but it's definitely a little. You know, a little blood between the two organizations, you know, I feel like. So it's going to be extra fun, I think. You know, so it's a different Carolina team than we used to seeing with Cam being out. So you can't never take away from the impact Cam has as a player. So, but Kyle Allen has stepped in and did a great job for him.
Grady.
Yes, sir.
Go eat, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thank you, man. I still appreciate you.
No doubt.
All right, for folks from the mean streets of Dunwoody, what we're talking about is eating. In other words, guys are getting it. They're getting what they want. In this case, they were getting after the quarterback and getting Drew Brees on the ground. Reading Joe Person, our buddy who covers the Carolina Panthers for the Athletic up in Charlotte, talking about some of the things that are working for Kyle Allen. We mentioned yesterday, Carl, getting Greg Olsen in the game, you know, a little bit later, as you saw up there against Green Bay, and kind of becoming more comfortable with him. Also, they're talking about those rumors. And right now, it's just purely rumors. We didn't mention it in the NFL Blitz, but Cam, would he be interested in the offseason of exploring a trade? He has 1 year left that they'd have control over if they wanted to move him for something over to Chicago, if Chicago wanted to kick the tires on Cam Newton.
If you're Cam, you have no guaranteed money left with Carolina. They can walk away and basically no worries, right? No hard feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But do you want a new start? Do you want to be somewhere new, Mike, a fresh start for Cam Newton? Chicago's interesting because, again, the defense is in place. The problem is their quarterback, and everybody knows that right now.
Right. I just, like I said, we're you know, Cam's always been great with us, and I just don't know what he is coming off 2 years of injuries. You know, is his accuracy going to – I mean, is he ever going to get back to where, you know, he was MVP season-wise? And because of the injuries, does that take away what made him so special was the ability to be mobile?
It does. I mean, listen, he's not the same guy. People forget this. First few games at Auburn when he took over, Cam didn't run. And then all of a sudden he started running, and it changed the whole dynamic of their offense.
In case you're wondering, Christian McCaffrey back at practice up in Charlotte. He missed yesterday with a foot injury, it was described up there. And they got a couple guys banged up, Dante Jackson, Dennis Daly, Ross Cockrell. So everybody's banged up by the time you get to this part of the season, brother.
Coming up, Vince Dooley's going to join us, guys. His weekly visit with us here on the program. What do you think about the Dogs' chances against Auburn? Find out next.
It's time for the Kroger Vince Dooley Report. Fresh food, low prices at Kroger. Now, here's the coach on Dukes and Bell.
Oh, we got a big one this weekend, Mike Bell. We're heading to Jordan-Hare.
Out there on the plains. And Coach Dooley, if you guys don't know, for our younger listeners, spent 10 years of his life in Auburn. Got his degree there. Got two, actually. And then, of course, played quarterback and then coached there. But, Coach, before we get started with this week's edition brought to you by Kroger, every week I try to find something new to talk to you about. I had no idea you served in the Marine Corps. You know, Coach Dooley's in the Marine Corps Sports Hall of Fame, so we missed Veterans Day on Monday.
Yes,
but, Coach, amongst other things, thank you for your service.
Oh, well, thank you. It was a great experience for me, and I really drew a lot from my experience in the Marine Corps in coaching, particularly in the way of organization and discipline. Those were big factors in leadership in the Marine Corps, and also big factors there. I was 2 years active duty and 11 years in the reserves. And then when I got the job at Georgia, I didn't think they would let me off on a weekend to go to a drill during the football season.
Yeah, they probably would not have let you do that, Coach. Well, again, thanks for your service. It is interesting because as you were doing that, 2 years active duty, at any point did you think you'd end up where you ended up, being the coach at Georgia?
Had no idea at that particular time. In fact, when I had the decision to make whether to stay in the Marine Corps, which I really enjoyed my service, also had an opportunity to go into banking business, and then I had an opportunity to be the head coach at my high school. But then when the opportunity to return to Auburn as an assistant, and that sounded like the most intriguing, I thought I'd give it a try. So then the rest is history.
Sure is. Coach Dooley's with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline, getting ready for the oldest rivalry in the Deep South. First things first, though, 27-0 Georgia over Mizzou. People were not liking the style points in that win, Coach, but it was classic defense, and now Georgia moves up to number 4 in the coaches' poll, or in the playoff committee's poll, yeah.
Well, yeah, when you shut out somebody 27-0, and of course, Missouri was out without its quarterback, had a full muscle, and wisely they didn't play him. Because those things can get pulled again in a hurry. But nevertheless, it was a solid win, and we're number 4 in the polls. So you just got to keep winning. You just got to keep winning. And if that's the case, we'll end up somewhere in the top 4 if we keep winning.
Coach, George Pickens, wide receiver for the Dogs, a longtime commit to Auburn. He made the switch. And I want to ask you, in your experience, and I know it probably happened, where a kid – was going to go somewhere else, obviously chose Georgia, and then he had to go back and play the team where he was formerly committed. How tough is that for a young man like this? Because, again, a lot of people are saying, you know, he's going into a situation where he's going to catch a lot of heat over the weekend because people are going to go, traitor for George Pickens.
Well, he never did sign, so that's one thing. So he never was quite a traitor. But nevertheless, he was a long-time commitment, and then all of a sudden saw more of an opportunity at Georgia and decided to come. And he's a heck of a good receiver, but he's a pretty emotional, competitive individual. So I don't think he's going to be affected by it. I think his competitive juices will be flowing, and there'll be some competitive juices flowing against him on the other side. But that's what the game is all about, is competition, and this just adds a little more to it.
Coach Dooley's with us, guys, weekly brought to you by Kroger here on Dukes and Bell. Coach, are they going to have time to get the ball to the wide receivers, or you think Kirby just wants to run the ball, set up the passing game? It just seems like it's going to be an old school defensive battle between Auburn and Georgia.
Well, both of them, as you know, are fine defenses. Both of them run the ball extremely well. I'd like to think we throw it a little bit better, and that may be the difference. I hope it will be. But you're right. It's going to be another one of those rock'em sock'em type football games. Two fine defensive teams, two good running teams, and then hopefully I hope we'll be a little bit better throwing the ball and catching it.
Coach, do you believe this defense is as good as the numbers say it is? I know you've had some great defenses in your time. And you know, I'm saying this because if you look at it, Georgia has obviously a top 3 defense in the country, statistically. You know, in points allowed, rushing yards given up. But then I look at the talent and I go, is this defense the best that Kirby's had since he's been there? And I don't think it is.
Well, you just got to go by the results. You're right. When you look at the individuals, kind of a great defense without a superstar. And that's what it is. But they're extremely quick, highly motivated. They play as a unit, and they've got good reserves, and they use them well. So all we can go on is the results, and the results so far has been extremely good.
Yeah, and as we said, the College Football Playoff Committee throws Georgia in at 4. I thought maybe a week ahead of schedule. We thought they'd have to wait to win this game to get there. What did you think of the Alabama-LSU game?
Well, I thought it was a heck of a football game. Quite a contrast from the 9-6 game that took place 7 or 8 years ago. It's because the defense is not as good on either side like they've had in the past. But I think more so than anything else, the offenses are twice as good as they were before. And that's what's happening everywhere. These passes, these incredible receivers with these long arms and 6'4". And then when you go down, it looks like bumping each other under a basketball goal, one pushing the other and the other one pushing them back. Now the officials got to decide who made pass interference, offense or defense. It really is tough. And if you just watch and get on those two, when the ball is thrown up there, it's going to be something. And you got to get some people in the secondary just as big and just as fast and can jump just as high as those offensive receivers that are really great.
It is the legendary Vince Dooley joining us here on Dukes and Bell talking about the Dogs and Auburn. Every year we try to relive a moment or two for you, Coach, back in your days of coaching and going up against, you know, again, the place where it all started for you, so we know it's special. But we were talking about the atmosphere at Jordan-Hare. Is it the toughest place to play in the SEC?
Hey, I don't know. It's strange. This game has been so unique. You can talk forever about it being cross-pollination with the different coaches going back and forth and knowing each other. And maybe it's so familiar in a lot of ways, Georgia to Auburn and Auburn to Georgia. And the best record has been of the traveling team, both ways. So you can't just say, well, that's the toughest place to play when you got a better record than the home team. So I don't know. Both have been very much at home where they go. So I hope that we'll be at home Saturday.
All right, so what's the prediction here, boss? Are we going to see a low-scoring game, high-scoring game? Bo Nix going to cough it up? He hasn't thrown a pick at Jordan-Hare.
No, I think it'll be a medium-scoring game. How about somewhere in the middle? It'll be a tough game, I think, down to the wire. I really think it's going to be one heck of a football game. And then they're not going to play it at that time anymore, and that's something else we could talk about some other time, I guess.
No doubt.
Yeah, moving it up in the schedule, which some people do not like.
Yeah. I love looking ahead and seeing this matchup down the road and the season kind of developing and knowing as the season goes along how big this game is. Coach, we appreciate you as always. Go Dogs.
Thank you. It is huge. Go Dogs.
Coach Dooley fired up on a Thursday here again, brought to you by Kroger.
You know what? I forgot to ask him about how his plants did in this cold weather. You know, he's all about that, Mike.
Yeah, I had to get the blanket out for the herbs in my balcony.
Hey, man, we got a lot more to get to. Rich McKay is joining us next hour, guys. Also, your chance to win our Falcons flyaway. Make sure you're listening for the sounder in the 4 o'clock hour. And Atlanta Hawks fans, check this out: Atlanta Hawks party on Peachtree. Join 92.9 The Game, the midday show, and the Atlanta Hawks this Wednesday from 11:30 to 1:30 in front of Colony Square. That's where we are. Right here in Midtown, celebrate the launch of the Hawks' new Peachtree Edition uniforms.
They are tight.
They are. And they're going to wear them against Milwaukee on Wednesday, November 20th. Includes an appearance by Harry the Hawk, games, giveaways, including Hawks Peachtree night tickets, guys, and a signed Dominique Wilkins Peachtree jersey. It's all going down right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.